All right, Sports Manor. Oh, wait, you want to go?
go ahead. You go.
All right, well, you know, we're trying something new. You know, Zoom call, little 20, 30 minute quick little episode, just because this weekend we won't be up and running as normal. You know, we do have lives outside of this podcast, but, you know, we just want to break down, you know, quick recap of, you know, our predictions last week, you know, what we got right. You know, we got a lot right. Hopefully we won you guys some money. Dro's nose over here. You know, we weren't playing when we introduced him. You know, we love the feedback also. Heard for a lot. You know, we're going to try and incorporate what you guys mentioned. You know, I know a lot of feedback was, you know, positive. Love that. Everybody loved Ivory. They loved that. They said, man, you know, Molly on First Take, she don't even know that much.
She knows a lot.
Yeah, for real.
It's our little statistician. So, yeah, why don't we just kind of jump on to the first game, which was the Thursday night game, and that was Green Bay versus 49ers. Any kind of surprises in that score or anything to you? Anything like that?
Not really. Just, like, where was that offense, I guess, you know, when they needed against, like, the big teams, you know, like, where the big games, like the Bucks. You know, that was a, you know, big game for them. And, you know, that they really didn't come out, you know, hot. They didn't show up like they did against the 49ers, maybe because it was the 49ers. They're, you know, a injury bug team right now. But, I mean, they definitely proved that when they're rolling that, you know, they're one of the most unstoppable offenses in the NFL this year. So, I mean, if they could play like that, you know, in other games, in the big games, I mean, Green Bay, they could be a favorite to win it. Their defense looked nice, too. Valdez Scantling had 2 touchdowns. Shout out to St. Petersburg, Florida.
Yeah, you got to sneak that in anytime you can. I mean, maybe this was a little bit of a revenge game, you know, considering how the 49ers steamrolled over the Packers in the playoffs last season.
And yeah, I didn't even think about that. It
was a complete blowout. I think it might have been Mostert had like 200 yards rushing on them and kind of really exposed them. And honestly, it was probably this score flipped around. So, I mean, Aaron Rodgers did play lights out. Not super surprised by what the 49ers put up, granted that they're missing their starting quarterback, their starting tight end, their 2 starting, you know, running backs. So
yeah, definitely wasn't as competitive of a game as it could have been, considering, like you guys all said, they're pretty fucked up right now.
So that takes us probably to the 1 o'clock games, which the first one, I guess we got to just get it off the chest, kind of, you know. It was not my favorite game to watch, you know, the sure. Bills and Seahawks. And that was one of the 2 picks that I got wrong last week. Didn't see this coming. I thought it'd be the complete opposite. I thought we'd see the Seahawks up by 10 and when it was all said and done.
Wrong side.
We were close. Yeah. But I mean, some things that I kind of picked out from the game was, I mean, although we were down 10 points at the end of the game, and even down 21 in the fourth quarter with 9 minutes left, you feel like you always have a chance with Russell Wilson at QB. I mean, he scores like in a minute. And then it's now a 2-score game. So lots of life. Even on his worst games, he's throwing over 380 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 rushing touchdown. So, I mean, I still think there was a lot that was exposed about the Seahawks defense. And I think I heard maybe Stephen A. Smith or Max Kellerman say, you know, every mobile quarterback has just looked like an MVP against us. Even Cam Newton, I think, had over 400 yards passing.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Westbrook, you know, we did talk about it last episode, you know, playing from behind, he's definitely going to get his passing yards up. Yeah. You know, the Bills with, you know, the defense they have, it's pretty solid. But, I mean, Russell Wilson was still able to throw for, you know, 390 and, as you mentioned, you know, the 2 touchdowns. But, man, Josh Allen, he looked like an MVP with that Seattle secondary. Oh, my gosh. Jamal Adams, man, I thought that would have, you know, brought some life to him.
That's his first game back.
Yeah.
And Carlos Dunlap, this is his first game here. So I do think we're going to see the defense spark up a little bit. The Seahawks are one of the teams that they get better as the season goes on. They always have a better record near the end than they do the beginning. as well as with them, they're always a second half team. So when it comes down to them being down the first half, usually for me, I'm never too nervous. Obviously, I'm a Seahawks fan, but we're a second half team. I mean, obviously, you know, we didn't put up enough points and we didn't do enough at the second half. You know, we didn't win the game, but we are a second half team. So that's something to definitely look for when you do play the Seahawks. Like if you're up on the Seahawks fourth quarter, because a lot of people are, even this year, but that don't win you the game. The Seahawks are definitely a second half team. So
I think a big part of it too was just the coaching and the play calling by the Bills. I think we were real surprised to see how much they passed the ball. Obviously, if you're successful at it, you know, continue to go. But I think they only ran the ball three times in the first half. So that was a huge surprise to me. And I was, we just gave up too many third down long conversions. But, real excited to see what the Seahawks do this week. And we'll get into that later. So
yeah, I agree. No, and then plus like the Seahawks, like once you're like they were down what 17 in the first, or they were down by 14.
Yeah, I think in the first quarter it was 17-0. Yeah.
17-0. So at that point, you know, you gotta, you know, the run game now is gone. You know, you gotta start airing it out to get back into the games. So right then and there, like the Buffalo defense is now game planning, like, well, we can, you know, lead, like, you know, stay back on the run. Just watch the air now. So, you know, the pick six, you know, that kind of hurt because now it makes it harder for the play caller to, you know, try and incorporate the whole playbook. You got to start calling the plays that are, you know, take chunks off, you know, yard wise and, you know, trying to eat up the score like that.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that even from the beginning, the run game was kind of obviously done. I mean, they didn't have the starting running back, Chris Carson. They didn't have their backup, Carlos Hyde.
Right,
they really started Travis Homer, who's the third string, and they had to go with the fourth string option, DJ Dallas, and they even mixed in the fifth string, who just joined the squad, the team that week, Alex Collins. So, I mean, they were digging deep. I mean, I think Pete Carroll is going to put on a helmet for a second and kind of run the ball maybe once or twice. that's how bad it is right now.
I think also too, it might have been a negative aspect for the Seahawks, even for Russell Wilson. I feel like coming into like these bigger games that he has, because you can see the Arizona game and this game are very similar games, but I feel like he feels like he has to literally be like Captain Save-A-Ho. So he lacks some of the effort that he kind of needs, like with his team, you know what I'm saying? Like I think he gets so much where I have to do it. Like we don't have, our defense is one of the worst in the NFL. We don't have a run game. So I got to throw for everything. I got to get all these touchdowns. He puts so much weight on his shoulders, not necessarily during like these average games or even somewhat competitive games throughout the season, but these two big games, with the Arizona and this game, it was very similar games, but I think Russell took on too much, which at sometimes like you take off more than you can kind of chew. You can start to see like little mistakes or things like that, you know, and interceptions and stuff in the end zone are just things that you can't, you know, those are just things that you really can't do, especially in games like this. And then we've seen those things, you know, really killed it, you know, we were giving away points at the end of the day. So it's like, you know.
Now I know, like real quick before we move on to the next team, last week, Renee, you mentioned that the Bills, not contenders. How do you feel now? Are they contenders?
You know what? Oh, man, I guess I've got to give them credit. I'm not going to give credit for too much credit to Josh Allen. We are ranked 32nd in the NFL in pass defense. We are now officially, I think, the second most allowed yards in NFL history since the game has been in existence. We are the second most.
Merger.
And so, I mean, they're a better team than I give them credit, but I still think that
one thing that got me, let me just say this. So one thing that got me, and I'm not a hater of the Bills at all, but this is the thing that kind of annoyed me a little bit. After that week, the fact that all these shows and stuff that like Mondays and Tuesdays, we like to watch like all the little shows on ESPN and stuff like that, that catch up. So everybody took Russell Wilson off the MVP candidate, right? Off their personal list and put Josh Allen on there. And I'm just like, so Russell's throws for almost 400 yards, two touchdowns, carries this team day in and day out with no defense, with no run game, none of this. And you guys want to disrespect? Yeah, he didn't win the game, but it's like he had a fucking better game than damn near most of the quarterbacks even had that week alone. Yeah. And on top of that, I get that Josh Allen looked like a superstar, but you guys let one game with someone who's playing with the worst defense in the league, right? No pass defense, right? And you're going to put him on MVP list? Like, I was like, y'all really tried it. Like, you guys are really trying it right now. Now, I'm not disrespecting him, but he's not he's not an MVP candidate. No. Now, there's other people who are other than Russell Wilson. I'll give you that. I was so pissed after that game, and I was kind of like, I was cussing Russell Wilson out over here because I was just like, I shouldn't have blamed him that much, though. I had to calm down a little bit. But, like, you know, I'm not saying – but considering what team he has and what he has to work with, even from, like, his offensive line, everything, like, Russell Wilson still played a great individual game. Maybe he played too great of a game, and he should have used some of his other assets, whatever the case is, and I can get into that right now. But the fact that people really disrespected him, try to take him off their list and add that man onto it, like, y'all really just, like, you did too much. He's not an MVP candidate this season, and that's just it. And you guys letting, like, this little silly game, like, you're doing too much for one game. We have an entire season. You let one game that has, like, all these other factors that really juiced him up. Now, I'm not taking away from his win and how he played, but don't put him in the MVP candidate. That's
exactly. Just wait till next week when Russell Wilson balls out again, and, you know, they'll have him back up there. And, you know, ESPN, all them guys, they switch it up. Like,
so I guess to answer the question real quick, I say they're a good team. They're not a contender. They get bounced in the first round of the playoffs. That's it.
Man. Well, I'm going to put them as a contender, but, you know, one team, you know, I was in the same boat with you last week, one team that I was ragging on, man, I said they were contenders, but I didn't think they were going to show up like that against the Bucks, man, the New Orleans Saints. Man, I know, and if you saw my Insta post, the Sports Manner Insta post, oh,
I made this for you.
I got enough heat from my
Yo, one thing about last week, though, like, because our game was first. So, after the Seahawks, I was pissed. I'm over here cash apping people fucking money. I'm over here talking most.
I
was so mad. And then the Bucks played.
Oh, man.
And they took all the heat. And I was so happy. No one even cared about the Seahawks game after the Bucks played.
You would have thought that the Bucks were the only team that played. Oh, and, like, Drew Brees, literally, I looked at the stats. He was ranked number one in checkdowns, you know, throwing it to the running back.
Right.
This week, he cut through the Bucks. Like, our secondary wasn't the best, but, you know, we're still pretty solid. Our rush defense is really what carried us. You know, we still got a young DB defensive back core, but, you know, they were still solid. You know, Carlton Davis, you know, is – you know, he has, you know, respect around the league, not after this week. Oh, my gosh. Drew Brees was airing it out. Taysom Hill was airing it out. Jameis Winston got in and threw for a first down.
Yeah.
Everybody had a higher
100% like QBR or something like that. Yeah.
Everybody was
13 yards.
And then, you know, the Bucs, I think, set the NFL record for least amount of rushes with 5. The 5th rush was a kneel down by Tom Brady, you know, just end this game already. Wow. And, man, it was rough watching. I was around a bunch of Saints fans, literally
we were at a Bills bar. So
yeah.
Man, it was rough, but, you know, you got to give credit where credit is due. The Saints really played like the best team in the NFL. I think that they, you know, they were hiding what they really had to offer for this game for, you know, national television. Sean Payton looked at Drew Brees and was like, all right, you want to start playing? And he looked over at Kamara, and Kamara was like, yeah, sure.
I mean, but Kamara, rushing-wise, I mean, that was one thing we talked about, you know.
You were right about that.
The thing we're going to get over 55 yards. I mean, to have that hefty of a lead and still continue just passing a ball. I mean, Kamara didn't even have, I believe, 12 attempts.
No, he had 9 at 40 yards. You know, the rush defense was there, and I think that's what they, you know, the Sean Payton and them knew. You know, get the ball over the middle, and Drew Brees is going to find the holes in the defense. He's probably the best at it.
Right.
You know, I've heard a lot of Bucks fans saying Jameis Winston knew the playbook.
I thought about that too. I'm like,
But you know, and if he did,
and he saw him at the end of the game when he was like,
man,
he's doing a little much for that one throw. He was doing a little much for me.
But I mean, you know, that team fired him, and you know, he did get in. He, I mean, look at the. I mean, he could just be like, "Hey, my QBR was third best."
Right.
Tom Brady, I think he had like a 60-something QBR. But even if that is true, it's football. You know, you should be good enough to tell the defense, you know, hey, I'm going to run it right here. You need to stop it. So, you know, Tom Brady, I mean, you know, everybody else is doing it. It's not just James. I think, you know, a lot of Bucs fans are, you know, just a little bit salty, you know, that we haven't beat the Saints since, I think, 2017, man.
I was just looking over your guys' record, too, with the Saints, and that you guys, as a whole, for like are 37-21 for playing each other. Saints won 37 games, Bucks have won 21.
I know. And that's the thing. Like, that's probably overall history.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I want to see what it's like in the last 5 years. Gosh. I think that they need to put a dome over Raymond James and just call it the Mercedes-Benz Superdome number 2.
I looked it up earlier. It's next. I'm not going to say the exact number because I don't remember, but just know it was lopsided.
It was lopsided, yeah.
Yeah, you're like, it's heavy on that side. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think that that showcasing between the Giants and how well I feel like they contained Brady and like how effectively even Daniel Jones is a – you know, subpar quarterback with not really any weapons. When you compare it to Drew Brees, you know, kind of went into their game plan and scheming, and they kind of figured out a way to play this Bucs. You think that was the blueprint?
Yeah, it could have been. You know, Sean Payton, like, he's a great coach, probably going to be Hall of Fame coach. He knows the game plan. He's played against Bruce Arians several times, whether it was when Arians was in Arizona, you know, the play caller in Pittsburgh, the head coach right now in Tampa. You know, he's never really switched up his offense. Sean Payton knows that. I think so. The Giants maybe really exposed us. You know, one thing that the Bucs struggle in, huh?
Or was this all Antonio Brown? He just, the week that they had him is the week that probably Tom Brady's never thrown doesn't throw a touchdown.
I mean, it could be AB, you know, the chemistry.
Pause. I'm going to get it. So I was kind of thinking that, especially when people just said it, like, no. But what I will say, in, I guess, AB's kind of his defense, is that, I mean, Brady had, what was that terrible game where he threw 3, like, interceptions or something? I forgot who it was against. He had another bad game before this. What was it?
Was it the Saints week 1?
Yeah, it might have been week 1. Had to be, probably. I think that's the only bad game.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Brady's been playing pretty lights out, so.
Okay, well, there was, like, one other bad – was it against the Saints? And that's even crazier. I don't know what it is about
them
the Saints.
Boys have our number.
Yeah, tough divisional game.
I know, but you would think, like – I don't know.
But now I know what you mean. The Giants probably definitely exposed us offensively. Right. Or, no, defensively, too, because I want to say, like, our weakness is the running back out of the backfield. You saw the Bears beat us on that. The Giants scored off of that. They, you know, that extends drives, and I think we got exposed. And that's something that we just gotta correct. Todd Bowles, he's a great defensive coordinator. 8 teams make the playoffs this year, so I'm not really as worried as I should be. So, yeah,
they're still definitely
might not win the division, but I do want to skip ahead. You know, we can go over some more games, but one game that really caught my eye was Arizona and Miami. That was a great game. I want to say that was probably the game of the week in my eyes. I thought it was electric. Both sides, you know, played hard. And I'm not going to take away, you know, anything from either. You know, I think we you know, that's a great matchup. You know, some people be like, oh, Arizona kind of looks off because they played, you know, the Dolphins. And the Dolphins, it's not the same team from last year. You know, they got a nice defense. Tua looked great. I watched that whole game, and him in the pocket, man, he was maneuvering. They said that Tua wasn't mobile. I want to know who said that, because he was running around. He was scrambling, eyes upfield the whole game, finding the correct reads, balls on the money, pause. And I think, you know, the Dolphins might have their future quarterback. You know, I know it's just one game, but, you know, it takes years for, you know, some rookie quarterbacks to develop, you know, looking down the field when the pocket breaks down, you know, instead of let me run it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I don't think, I mean, I can't say that I really watched most of that game. I tuned in like late into the fourth quarter, mm-hmm. and I'm not going to say I was surprised by the score. I did feel that the Dolphins had a good shot of winning this, and had Fitzmagic played, I would have loved it. So I didn't have all the faith of Tua going into this game. But when you look at his weapons, like, to me, like, he had to play lights out. He had to play fantastic. I mean, I can't name one single receiver. Was it Devontae Parker? Yeah. I think is the only guy I can name that is receiving the ball. And Myles Gaskin, or, you know, he hurt. And so I don't even think he was running the ball. So I can't name anybody on that team. And, you know, I look at the Arizona Cardinals, who have, I wouldn't say as good a defense as the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins, I think, are the number one scoring defense in the NFL. But they've got D-Hop. They've got Kenya Drake. Even when Kenya Drake's hurt, they got Chase Edmonds. They got Larry Fitz. They got Christian Kirk. You know, they've got a lot of weapons. And Kyler Murray, you know, who, in my opinion, though, is a top five quarterback.
Oh, he's definitely playing like it. He's not, you know, I mean, other quarterbacks are out here, you know, having, you know, better seasons, you know, throwing the ball. But they matched up his numbers with the MVP Lamar Jackson's when he won it.
Yes.
Man, Kyler Murray had more.
Yeah, a lot more. I think he almost like 10 more touchdowns.
Right. And, you know, I think that also just goes into, you know, the game plan. You know, they've run an offense that, you know, no one else is running. There's so much, you know, motions and mismatches. They've got two offensive linemen pulling on a pistol. I don't know what they're running out there, but it is so fun to watch. Like, even as a fan, like, I don't know where the ball's going.
Right, 100%. And even
Kyler.
Yeah, even do Kyler Murray, you know, he's you can try to contain him in the pocket. He can throw the ball phenomenally. You can try to disrupt that, make him bounce outside and make him have to use his feet. But I don't think you want to do that either. I don't know how you stop him. I don't know how you game plan against him, honestly.
No, that's why I think this, you know, is a great matchup for both teams. So, you know, when people want to down talk, oh, the Cardinals lost to the Dolphins. Well, the Dolphins are playing great football right now. And I want to give credit to the Dolphins. It's
interesting seeing Kyler and Tua, too, as like, the, you know, being two young quarterbacks. I know Tua is a rookie this year. Kyler's still fairly young himself. He's only, two seasons in, three maybe. But it'd be interesting in the future, you know, seeing this matchup and stuff, especially if Tua finds a home there. Kyler Murray already found his home in Arizona. It'll be interesting to see, like, as the years come.
No, this is definitely, you know, the future right in front of our eyes, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, for sure. Me too.
And I wouldn't count out Kyler Murray in the MVP discussion. I mean, he's lost, you know, some probably tough games, close games, I believe. But I mean, to me, he's the second coming of Russell Wilson. I love the kid. I think it's so easy to see that comparison. You look at skill set, the way they throw the ball, and I mean, he's only going to get it better. So
yeah,
to start off this hot, I like the kid a lot.
For sure.
But so what other games, you know, last week? I know you had an opportunity to watch the whole Chiefs and Panthers game, and I know the Chiefs seemed to look immortal, and with Christian McCaffrey coming back, we liked plus 10, but I wouldn't have said it would have came down to the wire and only been a two-point game. I wouldn't
have. Yeah, the Panthers even had the lead for a minute.
They did. No, and Teddy Bridgewater, he was playing nice too. 300 yards, yeah, a little over 300 yards, two touchdowns, and, you know, I don't think the Chiefs defense isn't all that bad. You know, they got the Honey Badger out there.
Right.
Probably going to be in the Hall of Fame. Most likely the Hall of Famer. You know, they've got a good pass rush. I think that the Panthers, like, I'm not trying to take anything away from the Chiefs. I think the Panthers, you know, they went out there, played hard. Teddy Bridgewater, you saw him out there laying it all on the line, you know, taking hits, not sliding.
Yeah, I just jumping, hurtling to the first down. Especially how he got hit like 2 weeks ago, man. You saw that hit, I think it was against the Bears maybe.
Right.
And like, it was a late hit, and I thought his neck was going to break. And you think, you know, most quarterbacks coming, you know, are being a little bit more cautious, you know, not trying to take hits, but he just wants to win the game. I love the competitive spirit. And
I think that, you know, a lot of people just counted out the Panthers just because, you know, their offense was, you know, kind of hurt. Nobody knew what Teddy was going to do this year. McCaffrey, they sat him out last week, so they get to use him 100% this week. And, you know, I think the Chiefs just ran into a, you know, full potential Panthers offense, you know, one that I know Carolina's been waiting to see for themselves. You know, their receivers played well. Robbie Anderson, 9 catches, Curtis Samuel, 9 catches, 100 yards, 2. I don't know off the top of my head what Mahomes did. Let me look at this. I mean, I should have known because they whooped my ass in fantasy. But 4 touchdowns, the offense still looked as good as ever. Maybe some things with the defense they got to fix. But, you know, other than that, I'm not going to take anything away from the Chiefs. You know, as we talked about last episode, they don't look like the immortal Chiefs, you know, the Super Bowl team from last year. Took a step back on defense, but offense looked as good as ever. So I'm going to give them credit still. I just think that, you know, they weren't ready for this Panthers offense.
Right. I think, and that's what I saw last season, a lot of them, is that they struggled a lot against the run. And, I mean, you look at – I mean, I can't remember or know really the numbers that Josh Jacobs put up, if he put even up any impressive numbers. But the Raiders is their only loss. And that's a team that just really high-volume runs the ball. I don't think it was a big performance by Josh Jacobs, but I just think they struggle against good running teams. Like, if you would have seen them against a healthy 49ers, and they really struggled in the Super Bowl. And if it wasn't for the less aggressive play calling – on the 49ers offensive side, I think, you know, the 49ers should have easily won that Super Bowl, but they got conservative and they trust Jimmy G with the ball, and I think Jimmy G's a bum. So, you know, that's how you lose by a double lead in the Super Bowl. So obviously the Saints, you know, I think they're still the best team in football right now, but any given Sunday, let another high power offense go against them, and they'll be in trouble.
Now, another team people would argue with about, you know, being the best in football right now, the Steelers. Yeah, their record says 8-0, but man, that game against the Cowboys, they were down most of it. They went in halftime down.
And the Cowboys honestly should have won.
Yeah, they should have. Yeah.
So there's some real BS play calling that happened that game, in my opinion. So I think that they should have won. It would have been nice to see. I blacklisted the Cowboys because them boys can't make shit happen, right? So every week, yeah. Rudy's over here trying to root for them. He keeps saying, he's like, you know what, I'm starting to see some life. And I'm just like, okay, shut up, please.
What am I wrong?
Be quiet, I'm talking. So, anyway, so I'm like, he's like saying this stuff. I'm like, boy, you're just going to keep betting on them every week until you get your upset finally. I did see the life start to come in that game. I think they played good as a team together. I think I started to, like, you know, see some of that, like, potential that they have actually start to shine through a little bit. They should have won the game. Would have been nice to see. But I am interested to see how they move going forward. If they're going to get better or if that's going to be the highlight of the year.
Look, I think that they did show life, but you got to think they're out of it, you know. They're not going to win the division. I think that they're not better. I don't think they're better than the Giants. Don't think they're better than the Redskins or Eagles. They could compete, but I don't like them to win the division. And let's say they do get in the playoffs. They're out first round.
Out first round, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Like, they're hurt. Stop it. Stop. You need the draft pick. You're not helping yourself if you beat the Steelers. Like, oh, you know, look at us. We just took down the, you know, 7-0 Steelers. They're 7-1 now. Okay, and now you guys got, you know, pick 11 in the draft, and now you have no shot at getting a quarterback. Tank.
Yeah, I don't think they need a quarterback. I mean, they got Dak, you know. But I will say one thing. I mean, Ivory's right. Every single week, I try to find the best in a team, and, you know, what I saw differently. And as you see, week by week by week, this Dallas defense continues to get better. They start to get more pieces, you know, come back to the team. And, I mean, we didn't even know if it was Cooper Rush. We all thought Cooper Rush was going to be a starting quarterback. He played fantastic, you know. I wish the Dallas Cowboys were a little bit more aggressive. I think that, you know, they were doing a lot better than they probably expected. And once they had an opportunity to win the game, you know, I think it's 4th-and-1, and they're close to the red zone. And you know, they put this game out of reach. If they get that first down and they end up scoring a touchdown there, they settle for the field goal. Next series, I think it's a fumble, forced fumbled. on what's the kid's name? CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah.
Fitzpatrick, or I'm forgetting the name right now, but he pops it loose. Anyways, they end up getting settling for a field goal. I mean, honestly, and then if you look at that final drive, how many bailout penalties and calls that really just saved the Pittsburgh, well, really upsets me and feels like, you know, Dallas Cowboys got robbed. I agree they don't have anything to play for, but at the end of the day, they have a fan base. They need to, you know, show them that they still can go there, compete, and win a game any given Sunday. And if Mike McCarthy wants a head coach job next year, he's got to show that he can do it. So I think I love the trick play. I don't know if you saw that punt return. You've got
That was nice. That was nice. I like how the
That was good. That was really good.
That was smart.
Was really good. Nice to see. It was fun.
Yeah. Oh, but real quick, I do want to talk on the Steelers a little bit. But last thing with the Cowboys, we might have hit with another one. Tony Pollard, averaging 6.3 yards, while Zeke 2.8. Dang. Are they paying him $90 million to get outrushed by the backup?
Man. And, you know, like you said, it's something we definitely saw coming, you know, like love it or dump it, you know.
Yeah.
I actually would prefer that Tony Pollard would have played that game. If you go back to the last episode, you can see, you know, it's like, I don't even care if Zeke plays, because that was a rumor that he was questionable. And I prefer Tony Pollard. I think, you know, he's hungry. He wants to show that, you know, he wants the money, and, you know, that he's a good back, and he has so many – big breakout rushes. It's so exciting when you see Zeke run 2 yards, 3 yards, and Tony Pollard's a third down back, and he gets you. Like, I love seeing him.
Disappointing, though, on Zeke. I think it's disappointing with Dak. First of all, Dak and Zeke, like, you know, you can tell, like, they're actual friends in real life. Like, you know what I'm saying? They're a duo for that team, especially. It's so disappointing to see, like, you know, Zeke not step up in leadership with the team. Not step up and play the game, not step up and try to guide with all this stuff. I mean, I don't really care for their coach, the head coach. I mean, I don't think the team really cares for the coach going forward. And even just to touch on the Dallas again as a whole, but also with that is like, you know, they had Dak last season, you know, the entire season. Dak threw for great. Dak was leading in different departments of, I don't know, different like categories of being a quarterback. I don't know exactly which ones. But, you know, Dak was doing his thing. You know, Zeke was doing pretty way much better last year than this year. You know, they still had great names on both their defense and their offense last year, and they still weren't going clutch. So I think a lot of it has to do with their coaching, and I don't think Mike is the right fit for them, as well as it is kind of annoying to see Zeke not step up in that leadership role, because a team does need that, you know? The way, I guess, like, even with the Red Riot, like, them not really, like, going and like, I don't know, even with the whole thing that happened with like Cooper right there, where he did, like, they hit him like dirty and no one did anything. It's just like, I feel the leadership on the team is just not there. They don't get it from the coach. I feel like they're not getting on the field. Zeke should have stepped up into that spot. He didn't. Kind of sucks, because Zeke, if your boy's Dak, that's your brother right there. You're not really, it's like, you know, to me, you do it for him. Like, Zeke, you should be doing that for Dak, you know? Mm-hmm. And you're not. So I don't know. I think as a whole, and that's another reason why I kind of just like gave up on the Dallas this year, because I just don't really like, I don't see it with them this year.
Yeah, 100%. So,
I was going to say, but on the other side of the ball, the Steelers. I
lose to the Bengals this week. I don't want to hear shit about them.
Pretenders.
I'm saying they have, like, you know, they have no blowout wins. Like, there's no dominating win against a great team. They, you know, they beat the Ravens, who are solid. Yes, but everyone who watched that game knows.
Four turnovers. That game should have been a blowout. A blowout.
Exactly. They, you know, they've got a great defense that continues to bail out the offense. And, you know, you can see that they're 8-0, but listen to these upcoming games. They got the Bengals this weekend.
Yeah,
it gets better. It gets better. Then next weekend, they got the Jags. Then the Ravens. We'll see. That.
Oh, Ravens, the no Ravens doubt. No doubt. Win by 30. Win by 30 this time.
I don't have a problem with Lamar Jackson. I'm going to tweet him if he doesn't win.
Then they got Washington. Then
Washington went up in too.
They got a tough opponent in the Bills. And then they're back to playing the Bengals. The Colts should be a solid game, and then the Browns.
Colts beat them. Yes.
But it's just so convenient for them that they, you know, every
Okay, that's why I'm like, there's not people like are being super impressed with this record, and I'm just like, what are you really that all impressed about?
I think that they'll win the division for sure, just because they're, you know, the rest of their schedule is pretty easy.
Okay.
Yeah,
right.
For sure. I agree.
I see, you know, three tough opponents.
I see Bills. The playoffs for sure. They win the division, they go, but they're going to get knocked the fuck out in the playoffs, as they should, because they're pretenders.
Well, that's what
they'll
I
think. They'll probably advance the first one. I mean, obviously, what they'll be they'll have a bye, but I think their first game that they play, I think they get bounced.
No, I think so. I feel like once they get into a game that, you know, the defense is, you know, they can't help anymore. Like, let's say they get into a shootout with Kansas City. It's, you know, it's going to be over for them because their offense can't hang with Kansas City. Who's another? I mean, their offense barely hung in there with the Ravens.
They were lucky to beat the Ravens. They were extremely lucky that they were up 17 or 20 points against the Tennessee Titans and barely got off with that. If this Gostkowski guy can't fucking hit a field goal, he's probably got the worst numbers in the league. For that, go to overtime, and then they lose that game.
So, I stand by this statement. Take kicking out of football. You've got these men out there, you know, their lives. You know, defense. Some defensive players are not coming off the field. Offensive linemen are playing 100% of the snaps, and Gostkowski comes in there for maybe six kicks. You have one job. You played at Olympia. What the kickers do at practice?
Just kick. That's all they do.
They didn't do conditioning when I played up in Iowa. No, they just kick. They might even just practice half the time. So, like if you knew what these kickers are doing at practice, their own thing. You know, they do their own lifts, and they're getting paid millions. You gotta make these kicks.
It's so aggravating. So aggravating to miss a fucking kick, unless it's the team you want to lose. And I'm like, woo!
Yeah. I can see getting a bad hold. I won't, you know, if you got some, you know, pressure on the outside and now you've got to kind of hurry your cadence, I'll kind of even give you a pass there. But when I see a beautiful hold, the seams are not there, all you see is just a nice round belly, the pigskin, and you're not even on the hash. You know, you're right up the middle. You don't even got fans to disturb you.
Yeah.
You got nothing. Just right up the uprights. I mean, shit.
You tell the quarterback, hey, I'm going to need you to take a knee on the right hash, the left hash. They even get to call the shot. But let's not drag it on. I mean, you know, we're logical thinkers. We know kicking is bad for the game. But other than that, week 9, you know, there's a lot of electric games. You know, week 10, there's some that are, you know, definitely catching my eye. First one, you know, the Cardinals, Bills. I think that's going to be a good game. I'm excited for that. It's in Arizona, so they don't have to worry about the freezing cold temperatures of Buffalo. I've been actually starting to pay attention to that weather. You know, it can control a game. You know, I didn't know how much, you know, would have an effect. Maybe that's why, you know, Tom Brady came out and did that performance he did. Right. No, I'm just playing. I'm done talking about the Bucks. Man, they let me down. But, you know, I just want to see the Bills defense and how the Bills defense and, you know, how they contain, you know, a similar quarterback to Russell Wilson. You know, I feel like that, you know, they're just going in to play another NFC or AFC West team. Another mobile quarterback with an offense that, you know, has some solid receivers and a lot of.
I will say this: if the Bills beat the, I think Cardinals win. But if the Bills beat the Cardinals, I will say I will give the Bills a little bit more respect.
Yeah, I need something out of you too, Renee. When are you gonna put respect on the Bills?
If the Bills beat the Cardinals, I will buy a Josh Allen jersey and I will wear that bitch every Sunday until they lose.
Well, wait.
I don't think that happens. I don't. The Bills, four turnovers, you know, they get four turnovers on Russell Wilson. One gets brought down to the goal line. The other one happens when they're in the red zone. And that game seems like a nail biter. Mm-hmm. At the end, it still does. So, yeah. I mean, they do all that well. The Seattle defense doesn't force one turnover. The Cardinals are not going to let that happen. The Cardinals are going to be able to run the ball. They've got Chase Edmonds, a good back at running back. I mean, and they have the number one offense. And they couldn't contain Russell Wilson. Like, even with the four turnovers, he still throws for 390 yards and two touchdowns. So right. I'm excited to see what Kyler Murray does.
It's definitely not. I'm definitely like green it. It's the Cardinals going to win. But like I said, if the Bills can somehow pull it off,
they will earn. They will get a little bit of You know, I'll give them some respect. I will say they're give them a contender if they beat them. Which yeah. I don't.
See, I do respect the Bills. I mean, I don't think they're like the best team in the NFL. I do think that they're going to come out here and compete this week. But I'm going with Arizona. I just think that offense is, you know, definitely watching the film from, you know, what Seattle did. Going to see how – because they, you know, they run a similar, you know, similar quarterback, similar, you know, packages. I think that they're going to, you know, take the second half film of Russell Wilson. Definitely, you know, be on their game. I'm excited for it just because that explosive offense in Arizona, you know, literally any play could just pop off for, you know, 60 yards.
Right. Yeah. Definitely.
Another one, we got a battle of the two rookie first-round quarterbacks. We got the Chargers and Dolphins. I like the Dolphins, and I don't like it to be close. I think Miami is going to come out there firing. They've got a great coach in Brian Flores. I think he knows what he has in Tua after that game. And I think they're really going to expand the playbook. The Chargers defense, you know, they're missing some key pieces. Derwin James is still out battling through his injury. I think that Tua is going to come out there and shine and outplay Herbert. That's my projection. I like it to be nothing crazy, no like 31-3 blowout win, but I like, you know, I like a nice maybe 13-point win by the Dolphins.
That's funny. I was just talking about this game, and I was like, I think that's like – a couple of the games I think is going to be like good games to watch was going to be the Chargers and the Dolphins. I thought it was going to be a good game.
Yeah, and plus you're going to have some rookie quarterback ego. You know, they did go they were drafted right around the same time. But I just like the Dolphins defense. I'm going to have to roll with them.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, Chargers find a way to lose games. Mm-hmm. They just find a way to do it. And I love Justin Herbert. I love him so much. He's playing lights out. He's playing great football. And the Chargers defense is really letting down. But I just don't see that many offensive weapons on the Dolphins side. I mean, I feel like the Chargers might be an upset this week. I sure hope I'm wrong because I do have the Dolphins winning their division, which means they have to, you know, obviously pretty much win outright. And I think that they can, you know, definitely do it. And I think they could beat the Chargers, but I don't want to say it's clear cut. I think that game goes down to the wire. Every Chargers game goes down to the last minute anyways. I could very much see this game being that way. This game could even go into overtime. I think it's a very close game.
I thought it was going to be a good game.
Yeah, so I'm excited for it. I think you're right. I think it's one of the, you know, games of next week that kind of just, or this week rather, that just kind of scream on paper. Like, that's going to be a fun game to watch. You know, we've already mentioned the Cardinals and the Bills. And to me, that leaves up, you know, my boys right here, the Seattle Seahawks and the Rams. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. They got my Seattle Seahawks as the dog. And I will always bet when the Seahawks are the dog. I love them. I love them.
No, I agree. Like, I'm always down to take my team. I do like the Seahawks in this one. But, like, from the Rams standpoint, they're going to be out. No, I'm still with the Seahawks.
I'm but, but, so that means but I think ignore it. So
I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be close.
Oh, it always is. It always is. It always is. This divisional game is always going to be close. You got Donald over there, so their defense is definitely going to be putting that pressure over on our offense for sure. I mean, I still see us winning, but it's going to be a good game. It always is a good game. Seahawks are not a team that really blow people out like that, so I never expect them to. Right. And then with it being divisional, I don't think they will at all. But them being under, I mean, that's just cake. That's green it. Money line. I mean, spread all day.
Wait, who's the favorite?
The Rams are favored by like 1.5, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So
I mean,
the disrespect of 1 week is like crazy to me.
That's a log. Because, I mean, the Rams, they're going to be fighting hard just because, well, one, it's a division game, and two, the Rams are one of those teams that are fighting for that last eight spot. You know, when you've got the Cardinals and the Seahawks battling it out, they're ahead of you. There's one wild card spot already gone, and I think they're fighting for that last one. So this, they're going to know to bring the pressure, too. You know, not really the best outing from the offensive line from the Seahawks last week. You know, Russell Wilson got sacked 5 times. Aaron Donald smells blood in the water. He's going to be hunting down. He's in the running for Defensive Player of the Year.
Oh, is this?
I still like Seattle, though. Just one thing.
They will see a better defensive performance, too, the second week of having Carlos and Jamal Adams. I think we'll see a little bit better of a defensive performance as a whole, especially giving them a second weekend.
And I
won't say, you know, I will definitely say that Josh Allen is a far better quarterback than Jared Goff, in my opinion. They're a very pass heavy team, the Bills, and the Rams are too out of that funky little bootleg they run, but they need to have a successful run game to set that kind of play style up for them. And I like Sean McKay. I think he's a great coach. I love his play calling. It's always keeps you guessing. But if you don't have a good run game, you really can't set that up. And that's one thing that the Seattle Seahawks do have, is they have a good run defense. I don't know where they're ranked, you know, on the as far as the number amount, but I would put them up there. Maybe their run defense was either so good that the Bills didn't want to run against them, or their pass defense was so bad they said, we don't even need to run the ball to set us up. So, I mean, we'll see, but I definitely like the Rams. I mean, the Seahawks. I am scared that Aaron Donald does get a lot of pressure and, you know, hits my MVP a couple times because, I mean, he got knocked down, I think, 16 times last week. Man, no. The Bills defense are impressive, and that's a lot of abuse. But when you drop back, you know, 40 times, you know, you could expect to take some hits, but 16 is incredible.
No, and that's a great point you made. You know, both sides, I think, really need to, you know, focus on running the ball, because if your quarterback's throwing the ball 49, 48, 50 times, it's, you know, that must mean either you're down a lot. It means you're not running the ball, and that right. Obviously is not the best way to, you know, you need to run the ball to milk the clock. I think the Seahawks need to figure out how to run the ball on this Rams defense so they take some pressure off Russell Wilson's back. But, I mean, other than that, I mean, you've got the Eagles and Giants.
Giants.
I'm rolling with Philly. I'm rolling with Philly. They're looking to get a lot of their starters back. Basically everybody was doing and it's backwards.
Take it early. Don't care. tell me, I'll humor this Eagles talk.
But they're starting to get people back. Alshon Jeffrey might be back this week. It's up in the air. I think it's gonna be a game time decision. Jalen Reagor's back, their first round pick, who we haven't really seen at all. He's been hurt most of the season. Miles Sanders, as a fantasy owner, I'm praying he's back. I need him bad. I'm fighting for a playoff spot here, but I think we might get a taste of a healthy Philadelphia team, and I like them to win this game. I haven't looked at the spread. I got to assume that the Giants got to be the favorite. Philly is the favorite. Wow.
Favorite. 3.5-point favorite. Just to take this.
I'm rolling with Philly here. You know, record-wise, it does not look like it matters. But for those teams, it does, because that division is
– yeah, and they're so neck and neck.
Wide open still. The Cowboys got a chance. As much as we want to count them out, they truly do.
I'm counting – like, statistically, yeah, they have a chance, but I'm counting them out. But I do like Philly here. Darius Slay, no one's really even been talking about him because, you know, no one wants to watch a 2-3 win, you know, Eagle team, but I do. And this is definitely gonna be one of the matchups I watch this weekend. Darius Slay, is, you know, still playing lights out. You know, no one really talks about cornerbacks unless they're getting the picks, you know, but it's hard to get interceptions when quarterbacks are not even looking your side of the field. So I mean, I'm rolling with Philly this week. You know, I'm not the
gambler. I wouldn't be surprised if Philly wins. I am going for the Giants, though. I think I just really like the way that they played against the Bucks, and I just really kind of see them, like, you know, I see them as competitors, even though, like, they're not like they're a great team, because they're not, or like not that they have a great record or anything, but I do see them starting to get hungry and kind of wanting to, you know, do better or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I do think that, you know, if they play just as well as they did against the Bucks, that I think they win the game.
Mm-hmm. The only thing that I feel that would hold the Eagles back is that offensive line. Recently, they've been playing with players that they signed. You know, they've been wearing Eagles jerseys for, you know, 2 weeks that are in there protecting, you know, Carson Wentz. I don't even think Wentz knows these guys' names. But I saw Lane Johnson was back practicing. He was limited. So if they can get him suited up and playing, that's going to be a key addition. He's one of the probably the best, you know, right tackle? Yeah, right tackle. He's probably one of the best, if not the best, right tackle. He's definitely the highest paid. But, you know, that's another matchup I'm looking forward to watching. But, I mean, you got the Bucks and Panthers. Gosh, the Bucks need a bounce-back dominating win.
Oh, yeah. If this one goes
down to the wire, if they lose, Twitter's about to have a field day with Tom's
ass. I don't see them losing, but if they fucking do and find a way, I got money on the Bucks this week.
So. Yeah, no, I mean, I'm rolling with the Bucks, you know, because you're going to roll with Seattle until the wheels fall off. I'm rolling with Tampa until the wheels fall off. McCaffrey's not playing, which definitely saves us. But, you know, the Panthers secondary isn't the best. I hope Mike Evans has one of his breakout games. I think he's had 2 catches in the last 2 weeks. Maybe even 3 weeks. I know last week he had 2 targets.
Right.
He was on that Lattimore Island. I like this week to, you know, Brady and Mike Evans reconnect. Honestly, I hope they sit Godwin because his finger did not look that healthy. He dropped an easy pass against the Saints. Sit him. You know, Scotty Miller has been very productive. AB, I want to see something from AB.
I think we do see something from AB this week.
I think we do too, especially with them having such an easy competition, really.
You can't count the Carolina Panthers. I ain't going to say they easy competition. But
the secondary is kind of suspect. So I would say the second, you know, all right, AB's personal matchup, his one-on-one. I said it last week that he should win. We saw that one. But this week, he's got to win. He's got to win. But Teddy Bridgewater, you know, he's been playing, you know, hard football. You know, he's, you know, puts his head down and he's grinding. You know, he brings his lunch plate to work and he's eating. So the second Bucs secondary has to step up. Linebacking corps, you know, they pass game kind of got exposed last week. The rush defense is going to be there. We know that. So they just need to bounce back to, you know, keep Tampa relevant, because right now they're just being written off as another wild card team.
Which is sad, because 2 weeks ago they were the NFC favorite.
Yeah.
You know, they were.
Stephen A. Smith was out there saying, oh, Tampa's in the Super Bowl now.
To the Super Bowl. He
wasn't even the top 5. People lanes so much, honestly, annoys me.
Oh, they jumped
shit. One thing happens, the whole week changed over. Like, okay.
Right. Nobody's got Seattle Seahawks in the top 5 no more. Mm-hmm. I mean, how? We don't – if any other team was missing their starting running back, they'll get some slack. They'll get some slack. If any other team was playing with their second string running back, they'll get a little slack. If they were playing with their third string running back, they get a little slack. But if they were playing with their fourth string running back, fucking rookie, who nobody even knows who DJ Dallas is.
Unless you're a Florida State fan, because you saw him tearing it up against us.
I don't know where he even came from. And Florida State, I mean, the last running back to come there. Well, I mean, I get Cam Akers, and I like Dalvin Cook, so okay.
Yeah.
Dalvin Cook, I love. So he's the best running back in the league right now.
I mean, as a Florida State fan, I love it. As a, you know, pro football analyst like I am on this podcast, I love it as well. But, I mean, you know, let's help the people out. Let's help our viewers win some money this week.
Okay, question. I had a question for you.
What's up?
Who do you think for Vikings and the Bears?
I want to see Dalvin Cook go up against, because he went up against Detroit last week, who, you know, rush defenses, you know, it ain't like a top rush defense. Carve through the 30th ranked rush defense, Packers. I do want to see him go up against the Bears defense because they do have a solid defense. Khalil Mack, Hicks is the anchoring nose tackle. That's the matchup I'm looking forward to. I like the Vikings if they could, you know, milk the clock, keep Dalvin Cook running. If they got to put it in Kirk Cousins' hands, I'm going to be a little worried.
Dalvin Cook is what's going to win the game for them.
No, I agree. And I know, I wish Kevin was here right now because he did have a pretty solid graphic. Nick Foles in his last three starts compared to Trubisky's first three starts or whatever it was. And Trubisky was outplaying him. I wonder if they keep up this three-game skid. Do we see another switch in quarterback? What is going on with the Bears offense? We need to know because I have Allen Robinson playing in fantasy. He needs the ball.
I'm not a fan really of either of those quarterbacks. I still think that you have to lean towards Foles. I will say the one thing that I think has been concerning for that that Chicago offense, I don't think their line is really there. And Trubisky's mobile ability is really what kind of keeps their drives maybe going along. You know, he's going to get that, you know, third and two little run on the sideline for that conversion to keep it alive while Nick Foles won't. And their run game is just absolutely miserable. It's non-existent. Oh, it's horrible. I had to drop David Montgomery. I traded David Montgomery for a kicker because that's how awful it is.
Oh, it's horrible. Because, I mean, fantasy-wise, David Montgomery, I mean, if it's a half-point PPR, you're, you know, going to get at least four dump passes. There's 2 points. Maybe there's another 2 points. And he's going to finish the game with 4 points. I had David Montgomery last year, and lesson learned, nah, do not pass on David Montgomery. But, you know, they used to be able to run the ball with Jordan Howard. I don't know what happened. That's where you just got to look at the offensive line, you know, to open up those holes. And that's just one thing that they're not doing. But I'm going to roll the Vikings, who I had picked on my pick'em sheet. But, yeah, the Vikings. And who knows, maybe we'll see two Bear quarterbacks play. Trubisky might get back in.
For sure, for sure. One thing that does make me a bit nervous about that game, I mean, I'm always looking at the lines. I'm studying them, you know, as soon as you can see it come out. In that game, initially, you got the Vikings as an underdog. You got them as, I think, plus 1.5. And now that line has moved all the way where the Vikings are like a 3-point favorite.
Right. So
to me, that I don't like when all the money gets dumped in one way because they see a team perform well. Usually you see you'll see an upset right there. So I'm not crazy about that, but I still, I mean, in my parlay, which we could talk about, but for you, I just want to go down the week 10 schedule, however you want to break it down, I'm cool. But I just like the Vikings. I like the Vikings a lot.
Let's get into some locks. I know you and Kevin, you know, the gamblers. Bovado kind of be annoying me, especially when I hit that casino. So I'm a little upset with them, but, you know, I've just been I've been slacking. Send me over a reward code I could type in. We could both get some money.
100%. If you guys deposit, Kiko will put his email in the link below.
So yeah, we do that. But what locks are you looking at?
All right, so I think I just checked the score. It looks like Tennessee Titans are down. I do like Tennessee Titans beating the Indianapolis Colts. I really like Houston Texans coming out and upsetting the Cleveland Browns. Mm-hmm. I'm not impressed by the Cleveland Browns. One thing that I think we'll see a lot of and what I'm extremely scared about, the only reason why I think the Cleveland Browns win, I don't have a lot of faith in the Texans rushing defense. And that's one thing that they excel at is the Cleveland Browns can run the football. So if Baker Mayfield does what he's supposed to do and, you know, turn the ball over and he Browns it, I still like, you know, the Houston Texans. I like the Jackson Jaguars plus 14. I love that. They can't, the Packers are another team that kind of struggles with the run. James Robinson is like a top probably 10 fantasy running back.
Taking the Jaguars or the Packers?
The plus 14.
Pittsburgh. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, two touchdowns is a lot. I mean, Aaron Rodgers can air it out on anybody, so you never want to count him out. But I don't see him covering that double-digit spread.
Yeah, I like that. That's a great one. That rush defense in Green Bay, a little suspect, 30th ranked.
Is that how low it is?
Yeah, they're ranked 30th, yeah. And wow. James Robinson, as a fantasy owner, I've been doing all podcasts, please break off this game.
right. And, yeah, I mean, I didn't know that he was so highly ranked until I kind of looked into it last week, and I was like, oh, wow. I mean, the kid's balling. Like I said before, I like the New York Giants. I like them winning the game, but I'm going to take plus 3.5 for safety. I think that's a lot of points. All the Giants games are close. I mean, even when they lost to the Buccaneers, they lost by, 2 points off of bullshit, the DPI that didn't get called.
That was clean football. That was good old clean football right there. But all right, what about the Buccaneers and Panthers? What are we thinking on this one?
I'm staying away. I can't touch the Bucks. I would lean towards Bucks money line.
I have Bucks money line.
I'm not taking the spread. Yeah. Carolina's a scary team. You just seen Carolina do that to the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm real scared. Yeah. So I'm gonna stay away personally. But if I were to pick, I'm going to pick Bucks money line. I think Tom Brady should bounce back.
He has to
for his namesake. He can't be called the GOAT and then get pooped on twice, in division games. So I think he has a big game. I think you see a lot out of him.
Was that Kevin?
Nope, that was my mom. Shout out to mom.
All right, but my game of the week, Arizona-Buffalo. Arizona's favorited 2.5. How you feeling about that one?
Oh, really? I didn't even know the line. So there's some line movement there. So I believe it was a 1.5 line starting off. I mean, I have Arizona money line in a personal parlay. I would still take minus 2.5. I like minus 2.5. I think even if that game is close, they win it by a field goal, even though I think their field goal kicker is what blew it for them last week.
Right, kicking.
Against the Dolphins, which, I'm all with you. Take kicking out the game. Take it out. But, I like Arizona Cardinals. They're the number one offense. They've been playing great football. I mean, the Miami Dolphins is one of the best defenses right now in the league, and they're still 30-plus points on them. So I like them a lot. I think the Josh Allen, for the exception of last week, has been extremely suspect, and that's why I loved the Seahawks going into last week. He definitely doesn't have that kind of performance this week. I don't want to say definitely. Yeah, I don't know. I don't like the Bills. I still don't like them. And I'm a little salty that they beat my team by double digits. But still, I like the Cardinals a lot. My lock of the week.
Well, okay, lock of the week.
No. Okay, let's get that back.
Well, you bet the house on it. Yeah. with the team that the Cardinals lost to last week, we got the Dolphins and Chargers. What I'm looking at right now, I think that's the closest game. Miami's the 1-point favorite.
Yeah.
Money line is minus 120. I'm not even sure if I even read that right. Did I read that right?
1-point favorite, minus 120. Yeah, I mean, that sounds like a pick 'em. Yeah, that sounds like good. I haven't looked much into that line. That's a stay-away game for me. I really hope that Dolphins come out there and win it. I think they should. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to sleep on the Chargers. The Chargers do find a way to lose games, close games. But they're due, man. They're due. I mean, and personally, at this point, I do like Justin Herbert a lot more than I like Tua. But
yeah,
we don't have enough to see from Tua yet. And
that's true.
So we'll see.
We can't skip over your Seahawks and the Rams. I mean you're rolling with the Seahawks, right?
Yeah, 100%.
I just figured I'd ask.
I took money line. I don't know why waste money on points.
But what about that over under 54.5? They basically are
so hot.
It's a shootout. For people that do bet the over under, which way are you leaning?
You know, it's funny. I was talking about, like, I was getting a lot of shit last week about the Seahawks and, you know, like, people are, they don't believe in Russell Wilson. He's a fraud. This is all the kind of crap that's going on my phone. And I said, you know, personally, I'm upset with them. I'm done betting on the money line. Or the spread. I'll just take their overs because they let everyone get points on them. Mm-hmm. But I don't see the Rams that of a high-powered offense, even though lesser offenses have put up points on us. I mean, even the Patriots, you know, they balled on us. So I personally set my own line. I said if the over/under is at 53.5, I will take the over, not a point over. And then I did see, I think it opened up at 55. So now you're telling me it's at 54.5. So it's kind of dropping. So this game, I take the under. I take the under on this game. I think they try to slow it down. I think they probably put in Alex Collins as a starting back. They probably wanted to do it last game, but he probably doesn't know the playbook, obviously. And, you know, and Russell Wilson can say, you know, hit the two gap, you know, hit the four gap, hit the six gap, you know. So he's got to get more reps, you know, learn, you know, kind of blocking schemes too, so they can kind of incorporate him more. And I think, or if Carlos Hyde comes back, you know, I expect a big performance from him.
Man, I am I'm trying to look it up. Maybe you wrote it down. I know you love those prop bets. Anything on Dalvin Cook? I know he's been on fire lately. There's got to be something for him.
Oh man, I would imagine he'd probably be at, against the Bears defense, it would probably open around like 89.5 or 92.5. His prop is, and it's probably gonna be like -150. I still take his over. I think he rushes for over 100, regardless who he plays. I think he's done it. You know what? So it can't be that. It's probably gonna be like 103 actually. But I would take Dalvin Cook's prop all the way to 109.5. That would be my ceiling on him. I would not bet anything higher than that, just because that's a lot of rushing yards. I mean, shit. Derrick Henry's prop was only like 87.5.
Man, I've never even dug this deep into Bovada before, but man, you can bet on everything. But yeah, I mean, other than that, I mean, really some games that, I mean, you got the what's it called? The Raiders, the Broncos, Drew Lock. I don't know if you picked one for that one. You bet on all of them or?
No, I'd stay away from that game.
Yeah.
If I were to pick, I'm sorry. I took Raiders money line. I don't trust them with the spread. I don't trust Drew Lock. But yeah. So I'll kind of go down one by one and just say who I have. I personally wouldn't have bet in all the games. That's where you lose money. But it looks like I'm losing money tonight. I got Tennessee Titans money line. They're down 10 in the fourth. I still think they come back and win. You should always bet they're over. The over is always hit. I've got Washington. I would take Washington over the Lions. I still would, even though I agree.
No, I got the in one of my pick-ems, I got the Redskins. I like Chase Young to go out there and have a day.
for sure. I got the Bucks over the Panthers. I think they need to come back and win this game. I've got the Giants over the Eagles. I've got the Packers money line over the Jags, but I got the Jags spread. I've got the Cards money line. I've got the Dolphins money line over the Chargers. I got Raiders money line. I can't trust the spread on that game.
Yeah.
Seahawks money line. Don't need the points. You keep them. I got Bengals spread, and I would sprinkle the +7.5. I would sprinkle. I mean, it might change because we don't know what's going on with Big Ben. I know he's on the COVID reserve list. Mm-hmm. And in the off chance that Mason Rudolph is the quarterback, then I definitely am taking Bengals.
Oh, money. Yeah. That might win some people money if Rudolph plays, because man, because that offense is already kind of sluggish. You put Mason Rudolph in there, go in there and bet, put that money on the Bengals.
100%, and you'll still get plus money because they're the best team in the AFC.
No,
according to some people. I mean, you still can't count it, but they have the best record.
Yeah,
I think they're the fourth best team in the AFC. I still put the Titans over them. I still put the Ravens over them. I definitely put the Chiefs over them. I've got the Saints, obviously, beating the 49ers. The spread seems a bit fishy. They look like the way they played football against the Bucs, they should cover 9.5. I like the 49ers, surprisingly, being a Seahawks fan. I like the way Kyle Shanahan runs the football, regardless of Jimmy G is out, regardless of George Kittle's out, they're starting two running backs out, Nick Bosa out, Deebo Samuel out. I think I actually like plus 9.5 against the Saints. I would stay away, but if you're going to look into something in that game, I still like plus 9.5. I like the Ravens over the Pats. I don't know what the spread, I think it's minus 7.5. I can't trust Lamar Jackson enough, so I would just have to take money line. I can't trust him to cover spreads.
Yeah.
Then I got to go with the Vikings. And the Vikings, I'll take money line because that Bears defense is real deal, and it could be a close game. So
I do like the Vikings one, that's for sure. I just want to see, you know, that powerhouse running Dalvin Cook versus that Bears interior defense. That's one I'm looking forward to.
Well, that will be the true challenge, and we'll see if we can stamp him as the number one running back right now in the league, which I still think he is, because I think he's leading rushing, and he missed a couple games. And he only played the first half against the Seahawks, and he already had 75 yards rushing. So who knows where he would have been. I think he's rushed over 100 yards everybody's played.
Go knows.
Go knows, right? Any game that I mentioned that you completely disagree with, or you're going to glean the opposite way, I don't want you to agree with me. One of them got to stick out. I got to be dead wrong.
With these ones, man, you are the gambler. I do, because, you know, Bill Belichick, great defensive-minded coach. I mean, I would be leaning towards that New England plus 7. I could see that game being close within a field goal. I feel like teams are starting to figure out how to play Lamar. So, you know, I mentioned last podcast, you know, can focus the run, just, you know, keep everything, you know, keep the passing to the sidelines, you know, just contain the middle. So I feel like they could, you know, I mean, I'm not giving New England the chance to win, but I do like them to try and cover that plus 7. But other than that, I do love the Eagles in that match.
I was going to say, when I thought about it, I was like, you've already made it your case clear that you think Wentz is the best quarterback in the NFL. And
I'm a Wentz believer. I am now. I feel like he's getting a bad rap because, you know, a lot of injuries. He's, you know, been the only one that's played every snap. Or it's him and I think Kelce, the center. The only two, you know, consistent starters from week one, but I'm going to have to roll with the Eagles. You know, I pray your parlay hits because, you know, I do want to see all my boys get paid. But if it's one, I think it's going to be Philly.
Well, I guess we'll see next week. And I think that's kind of where we finish. Maybe we'll do another episode before Sunday and kind of talk about, I know we had a few other topics, but without Kevin, you know, I definitely want to hear his input on some of the other stuff we got going on.
No, so. I agree, especially like this quick little Zoom thing. You know, it's our first time doing it. You know, we love the support and the feedback from the last episode. You know, give us more. You know, do y'all like the Zoom? Is it weird? What don't y'all like? You know, I love the constructive criticism. So, yeah, just let us know. And if, you know, we're, you know, if Dro's Nose is helping you win some money, you know, shout them out. Cool. You know, put your friends on, you know. Everybody eats over here. You know, we're trying to get everybody paid.
And if I'm not, just go ahead and fade me. Do the opposite.
Yeah.
I'm doing that right now. And it's looking good for them. So who knows? All right. Well,
now I was gonna say, and then also I know Ivory, she got her own YouTube page. You know, I saw some I watched 10-minute skincare routine. Okay. I'm about to try out because I've been breaking.
I don't look this good for nothing now.
Just to say, this is why kicking should be out the game. Field goal missed by Gostkowski. No other. He misses the field goal.
Get out of here.
So, 93.5% chance the Colts finish this out, according to ESPN Analytics.
We'll see. That number change. That number goes up and down all the time.
Sure does. I just can't trust Phillip Rivers.
But, yeah, you know, also one thing, you know, quick little episode. So I know a lot of people have been saying, hey, you know, we love football, but, you know, try and cover the NBA offseason. We're on it. You know, it's just, you know, rough right now. It's just pretty slow. But next episode, you know, we're ready. You know, expect more sports, more insights, you know, maybe some interviews coming up. You know, we've got something for, you know, our fans. And, you know, just keep the feedback coming. You know, soon, hopefully, you know, we could start with some merch.
For sure, for sure. Sportsman and merch on the way.
Yes, sir. But first Zoom call, you know, expect more. So signing out.
Hopefully with the Zoom calls and stuff, more consistency and stuff for you guys.
Yeah, you know,
Kevin's showing up an hour late.
Yeah, man, we were just saying our goodbye.
Bro, y'all are, Renee, you're so trash.
Hey, it's not over yet. It's not over yet.
It's fucking over. You're so you're fired. You're fucking fired.
So you're saying there's still a chance.
Bro, a whole fucking squad took that bet, but it's all good, I guess. Hey, did y'all talk about how Seattle and the Bucks got blown out this week?
We all can't play the Jets, Kev.
Yeah.
And barely win.
I'm signing out. My mom says she's going to bed, and I'm being too loud.
All right. I'll zoom y'all tomorrow.
All right.
For our meeting. Bye.
Later, y'all.
See you.